Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today we're going to be reading some more stories from hunters and people who spend a lot of time out in the woods. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a hunting story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Joining me today reading story number 2 is my friend Disturbed K. Be sure to check out their channel if you enjoyed the voice, and be sure to subscribe. It would mean a lot. Now, let's get into these creepy stories from the woods and from hunters. My encounter happened during the late shotgun deer season, so around late December. The reason I got into hunting was that my dad wanted to do it, since he believed it was a rite of passage for a young man to take down a deer. He talked with one of his buddies who had a reasonable amount of land, and got his permission to hunt his land. During the time we spent the next few days there scouting the land and clearing it for a place we would like to hunt, we found a few places and set up tree stands, blinds, the whole 9 yards. One of those spots was a blind all the way at the end of his property into the swamp. The only problem is, during that time while we were surveilling the area, we would come across a large dog-like footprint and would get the occasional flash of something running on all four legs away from us. One day, one of us accidentally stepped on a branch. So, one night, I decided I would get up early and go ahead to the blind. We would come across a large dog-like footprint and would get the occasional flash of something running on all four legs away from us when one of us would accidentally step on a branch. So, one night, I decided I would get up early and go head to the blind, so I got up at around 2 a.m. and made the drive out there. I got there by 3 a.m. by myself because my dad had to work the next day. I made it out there, got my gear ready and sprayed some no-scent smell on me and some deer urine. So, I smelt like a deer coming through. I was armed with a Mossberg 500 and a small headlamp, and I headed out into the woods. I don't know about y'all, but there's something spooky about walking in the woods in complete darkness. I'm slowly making my way to the blind and I'm about 100 yards out, give or take, and I start hearing this howl. So I stop and listen for a few minutes. The sound sent chills down my spine and gave me a helpless feeling because I was completely alone in a swamp in complete and utter darkness. That's when I put my shotgun off, the safety, and I sat there waiting. All of a sudden, I hear something running at me, so I turn my headlamp on and aim towards the sound. I hear whatever it is skid to a stop. I couldn't see what it was due to my headlamp being so small, and whatever it was running off. I wait a few more minutes and begin walking to my blind again. I make it to the blind, I get inside, take off my drag, and zip the blind up with me inside. A few minutes later, I hear something scratching at the door of my blind and pushing on it to get in. I immediately get up and grab my shotgun and point it at the door. I guess the noise of me getting up scared it off, and I didn't have any other problems that day.
My mother shared this story with me. She and her friend, who shall remain nameless, We're traveling after work from Great Falls, Montana, for a camping trip at Holland Lake. The sky was darkened more than usual with impending storm clouds. Along the way, they had found themselves inadvertently sandwiched in a 3-semi convoy heading down the highway, doing 55. As my mom and her friend passed Lincoln, Montana, a heavy downpour began, severely limiting their already limited field of vision. It was at this point that my mom and her friend were surprised when the passenger window completely dropped, in such a way that they were lucky the window didn't break. My mom and her friend looked at the now completely open window. There, they saw a figure that was hovering next to their open window, moving 55 miles per hour along with the vehicle. None of the semis seemed to react to this. My mom described the figure, of which she could only see the head and shoulders, as a man wearing a World War era gas mask. They immediately pulled over at the bar in Clearwater Junction, where they received a free shot each. The bartender commenting that they both looked like they had just saw a ghost. Fast forward to 1987. My mom comes across the just released communion by Whitley Strieber and immediately freaks out. She shows the picture to her friend. The first thing her friend did was a scream and then yell at my mother to never, ever bring the incident up again.
I went hunting with my dad and a couple of his friends. I've known them since I was 6 years old. This was going to be my first time hunting. I love to camp and go outdoors with my dad and uncles. I came to call them, and they took me to Idaho for the first time hunting. I won't say where, so no one goes looking for that spot. It took 3 days to get there, a lot of stops along the way, but it was easy going. We were heading into an old remote area that no one has been in or around in a very long time. There were old logging roads from what I could tell. It took us the better half of 2 hours to get to our spot. We set up camp in no time. There were 4 tents in total. I slept in the back of the truck since it was a long ride to get there. We decided to rest up while two of my uncles, let's call them James and Mike for this story, said that they wanted to go scouting to check out the area and pick out some good spots. Me and my dad both said okay. Mike and James both took off. I remember the time was sometime around 10:30. Me, my dad, and Haim were all sitting and waiting for the others to get back. I get bored sitting around waiting for them, so I grab my Marlin 1895 and my Model 29. For people who don't know what those are, the Marlin is a lever-action rifle. It holds 10 rounds, and the Model 29 is a revolver. My dad and Haim both trust me to go out by myself. I know how to handle a rifle and my pistol, and I could find my way back even in the dark. I've done it before. I was gone for about 2 hours after not seeing a thing other than a couple of squirrels and birds. I was walking back, and next thing I know, I start getting dizzy and sick out of nowhere. I hadn't actually had anything to eat that morning, so my body was probably trying to throw up something it didn't have. I could barely look straight or even walk. I remember passing out and then waking up in the same spot. I looked at my watch. It said 7:20. I couldn't believe it. I had been passed out for 7 hours. My rifle and pistol were still on me. I got up feeling a lot better. When I got up, I saw a needle in my left leg. I pulled it out and started heading back to the campsite. When I got there, no one was there. I thought they went out looking for me or looking for deer. I sat down and started a fire and started to cook up some food. An hour passed and heard a noise in front of me. I thought it was my dad and my uncles coming back, but what came out still haunts me to this day. A man or a monster comes out covered head to toe in hair. It was black matted hair covered with mud, and some small sticks dragging a dead deer behind it. The thing stood there for God knows how long when it walked forward and sat down on the log right in front of the fire. It took some of the meat I had cooking and ate it in front of me. You're probably wondering, why didn't I shoot it? this thing is about 12 feet tall. Man, it's a lot, and I mean a lot bigger than me. It could easily kill me if it wanted to, but it just ate the food I had cooking. I think after it ate most of the food, it decided to leave. It took off, leaving the deer body behind. Not long after, my dad and uncles came back, and they yelled at me for staying out too long. A week passed by, and the thing never came back. A week passed by, and the thing never came back, and that was the last thing I went hunting in the Idaho mountains. This is a bit more weird than scary, but here goes nothing. Before my father-in-law died in 2001, he got me really into hunting and fishing. I grew up spending a lot of time outdoors, but mostly camping and hunting small game. When I married my wife in 1998, in order to fit in with my very clannish in-laws, I started showing interest in their interest, which was hunting and fishing. I was a funeral director at the time, and the men in my wife's family used to make a lot of cracks about how soft I was because I didn't work with my hands, so to speak. So, I jumped in with both feet. I got myself outfitted with rifles, shotguns, camo, deer stands, turkey blinds, and everything else. I joined a hunting lease with my father-in-law, Jack, about 35 miles away from where we lived. All of this takes place in Georgia. Like I said before, I spent a great deal of time in the outdoors, but I also have an open mind about paranormal phenomena and cryptids. Despite that, at the point, I had never witnessed anything out of the ordinary. After Jack died in 2001, I left the hunting lease and got permission to hunt a privately owned 25-acre piece of property in the next county over that was owned by an older gentleman named Tommy that worked part-time at my funeral home. Where his property is located is really secluded. There are a few scattered houses in the area, but was still very rural. Tommy's house was at the very front of the property. Right next to his house was a second driveway that went back to a catfish pond and then dead-ended. This is where I would drive, park, and walk or ride my four-wheeler a few hundred yards back to my stand. Now, my stand was located as far back on the property that backed up to a creek and nothing else was around. The whole area was in the middle of the woods. One morning in December 2002, I got to my stand before daybreak as usual. I always loved to hear the woods coming alive as the sun was rising. The morning before daylight, I could hear a deer close by as the sun came up. I spotted a nice doe about 25 yards out and dropped her with one nice shot. At the time in Georgia, the doe-to-buck ratio was really high, so the DNR allowed up to 10 does to be harvested. It was still early, so I thought I'd sit tight and see if a buck may be close by. About 15 minutes later, I felt the temperature drop, which it was already pretty chilly, and I felt the air get thick and a low hanging fall rolled in really fast. Then I began to hear sounds that just seemed to emanate from all around. It was so loud and didn't seem to come from anywhere in particular. It didn't take long to recognize the sounds. It sounded almost cartoonish. A squeaky door open, an owl hoot, a raven screech, a ghost moan. It was very reminiscent of this haunted house screensaver I have on my computer in the office at the funeral home. I cannot understate how confused I was and how desperate I was to try to make any sense of it. I'm sitting in a tree in the middle of the woods in Georgia, and the sounds of a PC screensaver are blasting all over the woods and the nearest house and a half mile away. This was the most off-the-wall and weirdest thing that I have ever heard, and it was coming from everywhere but nowhere at the same time. Once I decided that no sense could be made of it, it began to get unnerving, and then I just decided to get that doe and get the heck out of those woods. I've only ever really told one person about this, which was a friend familiar with strange and paranormal things. He couldn't make any sense of it either. Maybe it was some kind of dimensional glitch or something. Maybe you can tell me. And thank you for sharing my story, Swamp. It all started last year, at the beginning of October, that my dad and I wanted to go camping in southern Ohio. We went over to my grandma's house because she has lots of secluded woods and she lives basically in the middle of nowhere. I parked my car and my dad and I began carrying all the camping equipment to the deep backwoods. We ended up walking 3 or 4 miles back and finally found a good spot. Roughly after an hour, we decided to move from that spot to on top of the fairly large hill to have a better view. As we walked to the top, we ended up running into an 1800s cabin still standing, but had no doors or windows, but the roof was intact and had 4 walls. We ended up settling inside there, which was the worst mistake we could have made. I had all my camping gear and food lined up on some old wooden benches in there. It was around 7:30 when we set up our tent and other things. We could hear cars echoing off the hills when they would drive by, and we were about 4 miles from the nearest exit of the woods. Virtually no one was around for miles. Within an hour of being there, at around 8:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., I began to hear these faint whispers in the corner of the cabin, and a little disturbed, I asked my dad if he hears the whispering as well, which he says yes reluctantly. As I'm sitting there, trying to figure out where these sounds are coming from, I became completely silent and didn't move a muscle. As Dad and I were laying there, the sound of a cat was purring with deep tones. Tones I've never heard before in these parts. I am an avid camper, hunter, and fisherman, but have never heard this deep purring sound before, and this cat had virtually come out of nowhere. The cat continued to purr with its powerful tones right beside our tent. It was so deep, it literally sounded like a mountain lion. But we are not supposed to have such cats in our area. I know for a fact it wasn't a bobcat. The strange thing was, is as I lifted up, I had a very bright light within the tent, and this thing was not visible nor casted any sort of shadow. The next thing I know, it begins thrashing around and pummeling my belongings of food all over the cabin. Shortly after the cat did this, I heard him jump out one of the windows in the cabin. I got a little shaken up over this considering I didn't bring any protection with me, because I have camped them thousands of times without any incident. It only got worse from there, and the longer we stayed in the cabin. Not long after the cat left, we then began hearing leaves ruffling, limbs breaking, and objects being thrown through the windows. I got my spotlight out and shined it towards the ruffling of the leaves, but the strange thing was, you could not see a physical object or anything, only just hear the sound. I walked around the entire cabin with my light, but could see nothing. I could hear everything, though. These same patterns of leaves and branches breaking continued until the entire cabin with my light was covered. Whatever was out there began beating the outside of our cabin with a sound so loud it was deafening. My dad and I continued to stay in the tent and wait out this attack, but it only provoked these entities. The attacks got louder and more bizarre. At one point, you could hear two-legged creatures running around the cabin, but unable to see them. Then, another hit on the cabin occurred. This time, though, it was much louder. Leaves ruffling, limbs breaking, things like that. My ears were ringing, and I was becoming very concerned we might not make it out alive, considering no one else is around for miles. These events continued to happen for 8.5 hours, and every time the cabin was hit, the sound began to be more powerful and louder than before. Around 4:30 a.m., we decided to leave. We began to run, and once we left the cabin, it became silent. I am back to back with my dad walking through this silence. We made it 1/4 mile of the way, and up a hill, this figure was looking down at us with bright glowing yellow eyes. Its eyes looked far apart from the distance that I was able to see. This thing was standing high, though. It was like 7 to 8 foot tall, easily. We watched this thing, then began running. Again, we started sprinting too, and made it to the road eventually. It didn't end there, but as we were walking to the SUV, we came to a small bridge. As we were walking, we heard a hoot of an owl, and shortly after the owl call, a loud voice like a roar then started mumbling at the end like it was trying to talk. We both just looked at each other and felt like we were in the Twilight Zone. The creature couldn't have been any further than 20 feet from us, but we couldn't see it the entire time, and it was pitch black out still. After that, we ran to my SUV, got in, and got back the next day to retrieve our equipment. By far the craziest and most unbelievable story I have ever told or known. This story comes from Northern Canada in the early 1970s, when my uncle and his good friend were young men. They spent their winter months deep in the country working as fur trappers. This may be controversial to some people, but during those times in Canada's remote north, there was hardly anything else to make any amount of money on, and a good season on the trap line could make you enough cash to survive for several months. In early fall, my uncle and his friend Abel would pack up several months' worth of supplies onto their flat sleds called Kumatiks and set off on snowshoes to the trap line, where they would stay in small log cabins called a tilt until Christmas. The walk to the tilt took several days, but the two men made good time, and there was plenty of wild game to be hunted. With the 22 rifles, they managed to kill a dozen spruce grouse and two large beavers. Beaver meat was a staple food for the old-time trappers. It is very rich and can keep you alive during hard times. They reached their tilt just as the sun was setting on the fourth day of the trip. Being tired from the walk, they decided to wait until morning before butchering the animals. The grouse and beavers were strung up on a meat rack to keep away from the mice and weasels. After they made some hot tea, they settled down in their bunks, just as light snow began to fall. My uncle was jolted awake several hours later when Abel tapped him on the shoulder. "Wake up, there's something moving outside." Figuring it was just a fox or maybe a late season bear, Uncle picked up his larger .44-40 rifle and put on his parka to go have a look. However, he never made it across the cabin floor when he stopped dead. There were three loud knocks at the door. The two men nervously looked at each other, knowing that there were no other trappers within several kilometers of them. "Hello?" Abel asked nervously. His challenge was answered with silence. "Who's there?" Uncle chimed in, but still no answer. They were starting to wonder if it was all in their heads, when suddenly, the three knocks came again, followed by restless shuffling as someone or something was pacing back and forth just outside the cabin's wooden door. Abel was just about to call out again when my uncle hushed him, as if it could hear them. The thing outside suddenly stopped moving, and in an instant, the entire cabin became deathly silent. These men were experienced hunters, true men of the north. They had faced down everything from wolves, to bull moose, to even a polar bear. But the sound that came next even made their blood run cold. A slow, metallic creaking. As the weathered doorknob began to rattle back and forth. Slowly at first, then getting faster and more deliberate. My uncle quickly snapped out of his fear-induced trance and immediately reacted. He shouldered his rifle and fired through the door, rattling the entire cabin and nearly deafening himself in the process. But he had clearly hit his mark. The creature let out an inhuman shriek and stumbled backwards. Until this point, both men still figured that whatever this creature was had to be some kind of animal. But as it stomped off into the darkness, it made it perfectly clear that this was no animal. In a deep, sickly voice, it yelled out in rage at them, in a language that neither my uncle or Abel had ever heard before. It was like their native tongue was spoken in reverse. Both men spend the rest of the night completely in silence with their guns pointed at the door, waiting for the creature to come back. When the sun finally came up, they went outside. They were met with another sight that chilled them to the core. Their meat rack was completely destroyed. The large, sturdy logs were splintered into pieces, and there was no sign of the beavers or the grouse. But the thing that scared and confused them the most was that through all the chaos and commotion of the previous night, there was not a single track in the fresh snow, and not a drop of blood. To this day, my uncle and Abel swear that what stalked them that night in the woods 40 years ago was a Wendigo. The crazy part is, after the whole ordeal, they stayed in that cabin for the rest of the winter, and it actually went on to be one of the best trapping seasons they had ever had. It's been years now since anyone has ventured out to Uncle and Abel's old trap line, but I can't help but wonder, is that thing still out there lurking in the woods? Thanks for listening to these creepy and just downright unexplainable hunting and wood stories. There's just something about being deep in the woods, isolated, with no one but yourself and a few friends, that really just makes me feel uncomfortable. Now, when I'm by myself, I feel fine, but something about adding that element of friends just brings those cliche horror tropes to mind and always freaks me out. I want to send a very massive shout out to my friend Disturbed K, who helped me read story number 2. If you enjoyed their voice, please be sure to check out their channel, as they are a new and upcoming narrator that could definitely use the love and support. So definitely subscribe if you are feeling so kind. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a hunting story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it really does help me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube pushes it to fresh new faces, and we can always use fresh new faces joining us here in the swamp. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp. It's amazing to see how many of you guys are supporting recently. It's just crazy. The holidays are hectic and it's crazy, and it's always amazing to see the support in the holiday season. If you guys aren't aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other podcasting platform out there. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. And if you made it all the way to the end, today's code word is 2730. Comment that down below to let me know you made it to the end and to confuse anybody else who didn't. I always love seeing how creative you guys get with your little funny memes or whatever you want to call them that you post down there. Definitely confuses people, I'm sure about that. Anyways, see you guys soon. Tally ho.